We continue on this historical edition of the KCII PM Sports Page. Today we highlight Waco Athletics talking about Bob Hilmer Court. Bob Hilmer, a man a part of the Mount Rushmore of Iowa high school basketball coaches. The all-time winningest basketball coach in the state of Iowa has held a head coaching position for 57 years, dating back to 1963. Hilmer is the only coach in the history of the state of Iowa to eclipse the 900 career win mark and only the 33rd nationally. He has compiled a 917 win to 347 loss record. That's a 72.5 win percentage. He has coached two state championship teams, one in 1976 at Forest City and in 2019 at North Lynn. Way back in the early 60s, right out of college, Hilmer started at Fredericksburg for 4 years, coached at Forest City for 34, Waco High School in Wayland for 14 years, and the last five has been at North Lynn. Bob was the head man at Waco from 2001 to 2015, including guiding them to a state tournament appearance in 2006. During his time at Waco, Hilmer surpassed the all-time wins mark in Iowa high school history with his 681st victory and was inducted into the Iowa High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame in 2008. Today on this historical series, we learn about the legacy of Bob to Waco Athletics and how Bob Hilmer Court came to be. Of course, we'll hear from the man himself, Bob Hilmer, in just a bit, but our first segment will be his son, Mike Hilmer, who has over 400 wins himself, co-head coach at North Lynn High. Here's our interview talking about Bob with his son, Mike Hilmer. Coach, before we get into his time at Waco, let's just look in general. What type of coach is Bob Hilmer?
Well, I think that, you know, if you go back and you visit with officials and you visit with former players and former assistant coaches, the one thing you'll find out about Bob Hilmer is he's a man of integrity. You know, all the way back, all these games, he's coached thousands of games, and he has one technical foul, and the only technical foul he ever got was the first year they put the seatbelt rule in where coaches couldn't stand up, and he happened to stand up to grab a kid from the end of the bench, and the referee just happened to see him out of the corner of his eye and give him a technical foul. So, you know, in probably 1,500, something like that, ball games that he's coached in, he's never gotten a technical foul for criticizing an official or things like that. You'll notice he never swears. He's just he's a great example. He expects a lot from the kids, but he also demonstrates that by his own example. Mm-hmm.
Coach, this is probably an obvious question, but take me way back to your childhood. Was Bob one of the biggest reasons why you really got into basketball and eventually into coaching?
Yeah, you know, I tell people this all the time, that I can remember being 5 years old and I sat right beside him on the bench. I listened to everything he said to the players during timeouts. I was always the guy that carried back then. Kids always put rosin on their hands, and I would hand them a towel and the rosin during the timeouts, and I would listen to everything he'd say. I'd be at every practice, you know, standing right beside him, listening to everything. So he was, I wouldn't say a huge influence, he was the influence that got me interested in coaching and, helped me to learn the strategies of the game and how to teach kids different things and how to deal with kids of different, you know, personalities and things like that. So if it weren't for my dad, there's no way I would have ever been a coach.
Mm-hmm. Let's fast forward to the early 2000s. Your dad was at Forest City for numerous years. What brought him to Waco?
Well, I think the biggest thing was our family. I have a sister in Mount Vernon. I had a brother who now lives in Cedar Rapids that was in North Liberty, another sister in Cedar Rapids, and I was down here at North Lynn. So it just put him a lot closer to all of the grandkids, and I think that was something my mom really wanted. So that would help him extend, you know, his opportunity to keep coaching as long as they were close enough to get to a lot of the grandkid stuff, and turned out to be a real good move for him.
Mm-hmm. And 14 seasons at Waco. What do you think Bob thought about his time at Waco?
Well, I know he loved it. He didn't necessarily want to leave. was kind of a circumstantial thing where, you know, they were thinking about trying to sell their house, and if they did, he was going to retire, and they ended up not selling it, so he was going to keep coaching. And then there was a knock at their door one day, and somebody was willing to buy their house, and so they ended up moving that year. But he absolutely loved it at Waco. I know he was very fond of the administration there, his assistant coaches, and the people that he met, and you know, he had some great players while he was there as well. So he really enjoyed it, and I think he felt very fortunate to have a stop there during his career.
Mm-hmm. And when he was a part of the Warriors program, he broke the all-time career win mark. Do you kind of remember that time? What was that feeling, or what did that mean to Bob to be the all-time winningest coach?
Well, he'll tell you it didn't mean anything. It just means he's coached a long time. But anybody around him will tell you that was, it's quite an accomplishment, you know, to be the winningest coach in a state, and to be as well-respected as he is. Besides that, I know we had tons of people here from Northland that went down to the game where he won his 600th, and then when he broke the record later. So I think for him, it was just one of those, it might even been 800th, I can't remember now how many it was, but it was just one of those deals where it was really cool to see, you know, a guy that deserves the accolade to get it, and yet he's humble, and honestly, the awards or the number of wins he has never been a motivation for his coaching.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, the reason why we're talking with you today, he has Bob Hilmer Court, is now a part at Waco High School. What do you think that means to Bob to have a court named after him?
Well, I know it was a big surprise to him, and again, it shows the quality of leadership there at Waco. Who better deserving of such an honor than a guy that set the state record for wins, and besides that is well known around the state as one of the most coaches with the most integrity of anybody else. So he's one of the true, you know, there's a handful of top 10 coaches around the state of Iowa. You know, you look at the Harlan coach, and you look at Mitch Osborne and Al Marshall that, you know, went to Cascade for so many years. And those are the guys that just remind me of my dad, that they do things the right way. And, you know, it's a special thing to have the court named after you. And the only hard part about that is my dad had to work on his handwriting so people could actually read that it said Bob Hilmer Court.
Do you remember roughly the celebration that they had for him when they unveiled Bob Hilmer Court?
Well, I know, you know, originally it was to show them that they were going to name it, and then they had to actually refinish the floor at the end of the season to do it. It was a really, I mean, they had a really cool, I call it a all sport, or at least winter sport kind of a pep rally where they had all these different activities going on, and one of the things was honoring him for that win. But I can remember the game that we went to, and them unveiling it, and our whole family being there, and lots of people from this community that went with me down there that knew my dad. So, and actually one of the guys from here in town built a really neat court that had the number of wins he had at each place. He put on a little wooden court to give my dad as a gift down there, or an award when he got it. So it was a really, really cool celebration. Waco made it real special for him, and I know he feels that was a special place in his heart for where he was for so long in his career.
Cool. Well, of course, you've been a longtime coach at Northland. Did Waco ever play Northland when you toured there?
We did not play each other except for we played a lot at team camp.
Okay.
We both went to Waldorf team camp and Nyack team camp, and we ended up facing each other quite a bit there.
All right. Well, 5 years ago, you brought Bob with you. Co-head coach is now at Northland. What's the last 5 years been like coaching with your dad?
Well, it's been pretty special, you know, not only to be able to coach with my dad, but to have my two boys going through school at the same time made it, you know, even sweeter. But the one thing that really just kind of shows how my dad's adapted to the game throughout his career and throughout the years is, you know, when he came here at Waco and at Forest City, he was a really good matchup zone teacher, and I mean, he would confuse other teams with their matchup zone and slow them down and force them into, you know, having trouble scoring. And when he came here, we had toyed with the idea of starting to run and jump press a little bit more because we had some kids that had been doing it as they were growing up, and And he was the one, you know, to be honest, that encouraged my assistant, myself, to not only press on made baskets but missed baskets. And we've been doing that ever since. And I think our record since doing that's like 128-5 since he showed up here. So obviously he had an immediate impact. And when he leaves, it'll be a lasting impact because we've learned so much from him.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was kind of leading me into that next question. Do you guys have similar coaching philosophies as it comes to the game?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing that I think that we share in common is our most important aspect for us is always teaching the kids character. And, you know, we're not, although my dad's been real successful, he's not a big preacher of wins and losses, and neither am I. We just try to prepare for every game in a very similar manner, and we just go out and play it. And if the other team's better than you, they're better than you. And if they're not, they're not. So we try to teach our kids to win with class and lose with class. As far as on the court, you know, you got to adapt to the different type of kids that you have. But what I've noticed in the 5 years that we've coached together is, and I noticed it when we were apart too. I mean, when we coached separately, you know, my playbook and his playbook were pretty much identical, maybe with the exception of what we named things or something like that. So, and then when we got together, you know, we would disagree once in a while, and sometimes we'd go with what he thought, sometimes we'd go with what I thought, but the majority of the time, and like I said, he kind of convinced us to press on a miss the whole time, and turned out to be a great idea. So most of the time, our philosophies match up and parallel each other pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Coach, any final remarks about Bob, his time at Waco, or anything?
Well, you know, obviously I'm his son, and so I might be a little biased towards my dad, but, you know, I can't think of a nicer guy that I could have coached with. A harder worker, a guy that taught me how to prepare for your opponents and get your kids ready. But the biggest thing, and I've always said this about my dad, the thing I'll remember about my dad when he's gone will not be, you know, how many games he's won or how many games he's coached, but it'll be the type of person he was and the example he set for me and the players that he coached.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, I really enjoyed talking to you today. I appreciate coming on.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it, too.
That's Mike Hilmer, longtime basketball coach at North Lynn, over 400 wins himself. Mike is the son of the all-time winningest basketball coach in the state of Iowa, Bob Hilmer, as we talked about Bob Hilmer Court at Waco. This was just part one of our historical series of Bob Hilmer Court. Let's come back with the man himself right after this quick break on AM FM, KCII. Our historical feature on the KCII PM Sports page highlighting Waco Athletics and Bob Hilmer Court continues. We've already talked with Mike Hilmer, Bob's son, and now it's time to talk with the man himself, the all-time winningest basketball coach in the state of Iowa. Here's Bob Hilmer. Well, Bob, I really appreciate the time. It's good to have you on as we look at Bob Hilmer Court, of course, at Waco. But we have a lot to touch on before we start talking about your time at Waco. Bob, let's go back to the beginning. You know, when you first think of basketball, what really got you into the game?
Oh, I played three sports at Cornell College, and I enjoyed all of them, but we were very successful in basketball. We went to the national tournament, even though I wasn't a starter or anything. As I was on the team and got to go through all that experience and really enjoyed it. So that's when I decided I wanted to coach basketball, but I also ended up coaching a lot of other sports too because I did like them all. But and so I started my first year as an assistant at Mount Vernon.
Okay.
And then I wanted a head job. So after that, I went on to get a head job.
Okay. Let's talk about the coaching philosophies you've had. Has it changed at all over the years? So what are your philosophies?
Yeah, some. I don't know that the strategies have changed that much. We always have a set system. I've always been a pressing coach. And we developed a matchup zone relatively early in my career when I was at Fredericksburg and then went on to Forest City and we did a lot of matchup zone. We did play other defenses, but the matchup zone was one of our best ones, and we kept that all the way. Even through the Waco years, we were still playing a lot of matchup zone or man-to-man. They both looked the same at times, so difficult to recognize. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a fast break coach, or tried to be. So those things we kept, and then each year we'd have to make some adjustments based on the players that we had coming back or the players that were coming up, so we could take advantage of their individual abilities.
Okay. How about outside of X's and O's? What do you preach as a coach as far as character building and stuff like that?
Well, good work ethic is one thing. We feel that a good work ethic carries over into your future years as well, and it also shows in the athletics. If you have a good work ethic, your abilities will improve. If your team has a good work ethic, you'll be very successful. And that would be one of the things. Another thing is to be a solid citizen. We were very tough on training rules all the way through, and we know that the players represent our school, whichever one it might be at the time, and therefore we felt we had to be respectful so that the fans would enjoy and be proud of our kids. Just along that line, one of the other things that I think was important was to work together, not just a work ethic per se per individual, but ability to work together and get things done and make the most of your teammates' abilities too.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's fast forward to early 2000s. You know, you were at Forest City for 30-some years. Take me back to the early 2000s. What brought you to Waco?
Well, we have all our children were located in the Cedar Rapids area to a certain extent. Right now we have Mike living at Walker. I have a daughter, Suzanne, living at Mount Vernon. And I have a son, Todd, in Cedar Rapids right now, and a daughter, Wendy, in Cedar Rapids. Todd was in Iowa City at the time. But they were all sort of one area, so we were missing a lot of the grandchildren's activities. And we wanted to get involved in those. So we looked for a job, and the year we looked, Waco seemed to be the best fit for us. And even though that still left a little drive to get to things, we at least were in the neighborhood. Otherwise, we were 3 hours away, basically. Mm-hmm. So that was the primary motive.
Mm-hmm. You spent 14 seasons at Waco. When you look back at your time at Waco, what stands out to you?
Well, it went fast. That's one of the main things. I really enjoyed it. I was at Forest City, a 3A school, and I enjoyed that, but Waco was a 1A school. I grew up in MFL, which was a smaller school at the time. I really liked the small school bit because you know the kids real well. The kids know each other real well. You get along with the administration and the faculty because you're real close. So I really enjoyed it because the kids were very cooperative and worked very hard, and the faculty was a very good faculty and a very hardworking faculty. I think that kind of rubs off on your kids as well. And then the people in the community, I really enjoyed the people in the community. They were always solidly behind the school and solidly behind the teams, no matter what sport it was. And it was really a good situation.
Mm-hmm. Any one or two memories that really stand out to you specifically at your time at Waco?
Well, one would have to be having the court named after me. Mm-hmm. When I set the record for career wins at 681, I think it was at the time. And so they had a celebration at the school and they named the basketball court after me. Then when the funny thing was, when they refinished the floor, they had to take all that off and put it back on. So then they decided they wanted me to write it in cursive rather than just block print it. And if you know my handwriting, you know that had to be a real adventure. I don't know how many examples I gave to the AD, Chad Edeker, so they could pick one out to put on the floor.
That's funny. Do you like the current one?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
That's funny.
Because that's the only good handwriting I probably have anywhere right now. So I'll take it.
That's funny. So take me back to that. Do you remember when you found out you're going to have the court named after you? Was there a celebration? Was it a surprise? Just kind of break that down.
Yeah, it was. We won. I think we actually tied the record on the night they did that because we'd had one. We'd lost one along the way, so we didn't quite get to where we were looking for it. But we tied the record at Winfield, and they had a celebration back at Waco. There's a pretty big crowd there, and they, everybody kind of spoke. And then they unveiled the court. They had it covered. I can't tell you all that particulars, but they had it covered when we came in. So that finally at the end when they presented it, they opened up they took the cover off, and it was definitely a surprise. Definitely a surprise. Mm-hmm. And of course, one of the biggest honors, maybe the biggest honor I've had as a high school coach.
Okay. Yeah, that kind of led me right into the next question. What really comes to mind when you think, wow, I have a court named after me?
Well, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. I enjoyed it because I taught phys ed at the time. So I had two classes a day I had to teach. And if there was a dispute over what activity we were going to do, I always told the kids, well, this is my court. We're going to do it my way. But it was really good. It's an honor. It's unbelievable. Something you never expect in a million years. And I'm still very proud of that.
Mm-hmm. What classes did you teach?
I just had phys ed, and I had high school and junior high both. So.
Okay.
It varied. One year I think I had all high school, but pretty soon they incorporated the junior high in there. So
sure.
We had more than one phys ed teacher. Rick Mormon was the key phys ed teacher, and I was just part time. So I filled in the classes that they couldn't get covered any other way.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Bob Hilmer, longtime Iowa basketball coach, as he is our historical feature today, talking about Bob Hilmer Court. Well, of course, 5 years ago, you went to a coach with your son, Mike, of course, at North Lynn, got to coach your grandsons as well. What was that experience like?
Well, that's the reason we left and came here. Mike was he was in Walker, so he was the furthest away from us. And we knew that his boys were going to be very good athletically, and all our other grandchildren, for the most part, not all of them, but most of them were done with their athletics in school. Mike had his family later. So we decided to move up where we could be a part of it, and Mike and I had always talked a little bit about the possibility of coaching together when that time came. So we just made the decision to try it, and it worked very well, obviously. We had great success. It was really good to have three generations working together. That was one of the highlights. It was something you just don't expect to ever experience again. And that was just absolutely great. And I think we went to the state tournament 4 out of 5 years. And I think we won, Mike told me the other day, we won 128 games and lost 5 or something in those mm-hmm. 5 years. So. And I've still got a grandson playing 2 more years, but finally when I reached 80, I just want to sit back for a while and take it easy and maybe enjoy all the assets of life and not have to be on the time schedule too much.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying hanging it up now?
Yep, I'm hanging it up, yes.
I'm sure it's kind of hard to put in words, but 58 years of coaching, when you look back at all these years, what does that mean to you?
Well, you know, they pass so quickly. I think when you enjoy something, and I always enjoyed coaching, I enjoyed coaching all sports, not just basketball, but I enjoyed it so much that the time passed quickly, and you just keep going because you're enjoying it, and it never occurs to you that someday it's going to end. But I got to the point where I live in Cedar Rapids, so I had to drive to Troy Mills to practice because I'm right in the middle of our family geographically. And I don't see as well as I used to, perhaps, and the night driving bothered me a little bit. and I'm not quite as agile as I used to be or strong as I used to be. So there were a lot of things on the court I could do, but there were still some things that I used to do that I couldn't do now. And I just feel it was time to just step back and enjoy watching the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you and Mike have similar coaching philosophies?
A lot, but we do different things, X and O's. We do have same philosophies otherwise. He's mostly been he evolved this when his boys got into the AU stuff, and that was patterned more for college than anything else. So he developed some of the college philosophy, whereas I was still coaching high school, so to speak. So he went on the passing game or the motion game. He had man-to-man run and jump presses. I was a zone press guy, and I was a play pattern guy. So it was different. The first year I was there with him, I had to make some adjustments and actually had to educate myself as to how to do things. But once we got that done, it was good. We always shared the responsibility for game plan and for practices and that kind of thing. So things worked out very well, and we also had a good assistant, Travis Griffith. So we had three guys, and Travis had been a former head coach too. So it was really a good situation. Mm-hmm. I think we got a lot done, and I think we enjoyed doing it, and I think the kids are still enjoying it.
Fun one here for you, Bob. Mike mentioned throughout your 58 years of coaching, you had just one technical. Why don't you talk about that?
I had one technical. It was, and the call went our way, incidentally. It was the first, second game of a season where they changed the coaching rule.
Okay.
So the year before, you could stand up during a dead ball. They changed it so you had to sit the whole game. You could not, except for timeout or something like that. You could not get up during a free throw. You could not get up and walk them, get a substitute. They had to come to the bench. You had to motion them. They had to go to the bench. And we had one of those block charge calls that we were playing a key game. I just suspended two kids for training. Mike and Todd, both my boys, were playing, and we were playing an arch rival. And we had one of those block charge calls, and they called the other team for blocking, so we were going to get two free throws. And the crowd was so loud, I couldn't get Mike's attention. He was the point guard. And I stood up to yell at him to get his attention just as the official came over to give the call to the bench on the foul. And the referee said, "Coach, you know you can't be up at this time." And actually, I had never registered about it because I never was up most of the time anyway. I said, "Well, I guess I really didn't, but I'm up." And so they gave me a tee, and that's the only one I ever had.
Nice. Well, Bob, is there anything else you want to add about your time at Waco or just Bob Himmler Court?
Well, I'll just say this. I really enjoyed Waco. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the school system. They made changes in their curriculum that were very good. They concentrated hard on keeping their school and helping it hold its own, and it's done that, and it's very good. It's a very good school system, and the people there were just absolutely magnificent. I enjoyed everybody that was there, and the fans were just super, and I really think the fans were good for every sport. I mean, they followed their sports, and they rooted hard, and back the athletes very well, and they did that with all activities, incidentally. They were good in other activities, too. And to have the court named after me in a community like that is just a great honor and something I'll remember forever.
Mm-hmm. Well, Coach, it's been a lot of fun talking with you today. Congratulations on a fantastic career and happy retirement.
Thank you so much.
There you have it, folks. Bob Himmler, the all-time winningest Iowa high school basketball coach, has retired after 57 years in the head coaching position, 917 wins. Take a bow, Mr. Hilmer. He was part of our historical series. We highlighted Bob Hilmer Court at Waco High School. Let's step aside and come back with more of the PM Sports Page right after this on AM.FM KCII.